www.attableek.com, The Reviver of Iman.
فمنهم من آمن به ومنهم من صد عنه وكفى بجهنم سعيرا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, as Muslims, we are often reminded of our ethical, our moral and religious duty towards fellow Muslims and fellow non-Muslims when they are in pain, agony and distress. And we are told it's our duty to respond, to support, to empathize, to sympathize. And there are a host of organizations locally and globally that are doing a phenomenal job, and may Allah reward each one respectively. Ameen. But how often, and probably never, and here I ask you to put your thinking cap on and apply your mind, have we ever been told what is our duty towards fellow humans, Muslims or otherwise, when Allah has favored them, blessed them and endowed them? What's my duty and my responsibility if the next man's life is prosperous, his marriage is stable, his children are obedient, his business is good? Do I have a responsibility, or do I sit and burn within myself and harbor jealousy and then strategize against him or not? The Arabic proverb is as follows when it comes to the pain of others: جزعك صبرك في مصيبتك خير من جزعك وجزعك في مصيبة أخيك خير من صبرك. When you are in pain and difficulty, it is better to persevere than to react and to moan and groan. Contain yourself, restrain yourself, persevere, keep it within yourself. But when others are in pain and affliction, then it is better for you to react and to respond. Now, let me share with you what is the response of a believer when he sees a fellow believer in prosperity, and what is the response of a munafiq. How does a munafiq, what is the trait of a munafiq? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the fifth juz, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ فَانْفِرُوا ثُبَاتٍ أَوْ انْفِرُوا جَمِيعًا وَإِنَّ مِنْكُمْ لَمَنْ لَيُبَطِّئَنَّ فَإِنْ أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالَ قَدْ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ إِذْ لَمْ أَكُنْ مَعَهُمْ شَهِيدًا. That when the Muslims used to participate in a campaign, they were called to join the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslims, the companions, the devout Sahaba would comply, would accede to the call. However, the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, would sit and wait. They would sit and wait. And they would then evaluate the situation. If the Muslims went forward and they suffered a setback, a snag, apparent failure, then the munafiqeen used to rejoice and say, just as well, we didn't respond, see what happened to them. Good luck. You want to go forward, you must suffer. So when the Muslims went forward, the munafiqeen would wait, scan the horizons, let's see, let me calculate it, let's apply our mind, let's not be hasty. And if the Muslims had to suffer a setback, then it would bring joy to them to see the failure of others. May Allah protect us. And if things were otherwise, then Allah gave victory to the Muslims. وَلَئِنْ أَصَابَكُمْ فَضْلٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَيَقُولَنَّكَ أَنْ لَمْ تَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُ مَوَدَّةٌ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَعْهُمْ فَأَفُوزَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And if prosperity came to the Muslims, then they didn't have the muscle, the clout, the strength, the stamina, the vision to say, my brother, I'm happy for you. I lagged behind, I sat behind. You were diligent, Allah gave you victory, I am so happy for you. It was too much for them to praise and see the joy of others. But rather what happened, they went into a shell of depression. Why didn't I enjoy the prosperity that others enjoyed? That's the trait of a munafiq. That's the attribute of a munafiq and not the sign of a believer. The Arabic poet Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, هذا زمان ليس إخوانه بإخواني إخوانه كلهم ظالم لهم لسانان ووجهان يلقاك بالبشر وفي قلبه داء يواريه بكتمان. We live in a time where brothers are not brothers. How much can you expect from friends? The Urdu poet said, اب تو درندوں سے نہ حیوانوں سے در لگتا ہے کیا زمانہ ہے کہ انسانوں سے در لگتا ہے اب تو درندوں سے نہ حیوانوں سے در لگتا ہے کیا زمانہ ہے کہ انسانوں سے در لگتا ہے عزت نفس کسی شخص کی محفوظ نہیں اب تو اپنے ہی نگہبانوں سے در لگتا ہے خوریزی کا یہ عالم ہے کہ خدا خیر کرے اب تو مسلمانوں کو مسلمانوں سے در لگتا ہے He says, I've now come into a period, era and time that I am not intimidated or threatened by predators, by beasts of prey, by wild animals. But if you tell me human beings are there, Ibrahim, Yusuf, Musa, then I would have to take cover and amnesty. I would have to hide because that man's got a loose tongue. He can blurt venom. He can throw out the most nasty comments. That man really, I want to keep clean of him. His tongue is so loose, he would hurt me and spoil my life. عزت نفس کسی شخص کی محفوظ نہیں. No man's honor is safe and secure. اب تو اپنے ہی نگہبانوں سے در لگتا ہے. We've stooped so low that our very guardians and custodians and caregivers actually threaten our safety. خوریزی کا یہ عالم ہے کہ خدا خیر کرے. Killing has become so rife that today a Muslim is afraid of a Muslim. And yet another Urdu poet said, بچپن میں اپنے بھائی سے دن میں 10 مرتبہ لڑتے تھے بچپن میں اپنے بھائی سے دن میں 10 مرتبہ لڑتے تھے مگر سونے سے پہلے گلے لگا دیتے بڑے ہو کر جو ایک مرتبہ لڑے تو 10 سال تک بات نہیں کرتے بچپن میں اپنے بھائی سے دن میں 10 مرتبہ لڑتے تھے As a child with my sibling I would have a squabble and an argument and we would share some heated words and probably it would happen 10 times a day. But before he would retire to bed, I would give him a hug and he would give me an embrace. And I knew he was my brother and he knew I was his sibling and we knew our affinity was there. But as we evolved and we matured and we became calculated and we had degrees and now we moved and climbed the corporate ladder and we're right on the top. Now one argument and we don't see eye to eye for a decade. مجھے بچپن کا وہ زمانہ اچھی طرح یاد ہے کہ گلی تو کسی کسی کے پاس ہوتی تھی وقت خرید کے پاس ہوتا تھا I remember that time of my childhood, the poet says, when holding a watch was a privilege. Everybody, brother, can you give me the time, please? But everybody had time. It's Saturday, no, this is time with my brother. Sunday, this is time to meet the old uncle. Monday, oh no, I spent this year with my neighbor. Watch was a privilege, but time was found. Today every man has a watch, but nobody has time. هذا زمان ليس إخوانه بإخواني إخوانه كلهم ظالمون لهم لسانان ووجهان The average human has two tongues and two faces. يلقاك بالبشر He meets you with a cheerful face. وفي قلبه داء يواريه بكتمان But within him there is a fire that is burning. حتى إذا ما غبت عن عينيه رماك بالزور وبهتان When you exit the gathering, He hurls the most nasty, unpleasant, condescending, vituperative comments to you. فَكُنْ حَافِظًا نَفْسَكَ فِي بَيْنٍ وَحِيطَانِ Insulate yourself and stay clean from others. And don't speak about your prosperity because you don't know those around you might not have the strength to digest it. We live in a strange world. Everything is thrown out on social media. In the early days, you had a diary and everything that was captured in the diary was private and discreet. And if anybody would pry or probe into my diary, you invaded my privacy. And today you throw out everything on social media and if people don't read it, you feel offended. Like you don't even remark to my comments, you don't even retweet, you don't even put like, you don't even say anything. Just look at the change of the cycle of life. So the focus of my talk is, we've been told 1,000 times and rightfully so. Respond, aid, support when people are in pain, difficulty. I'm saying pause for a moment. Reverse the scenario. Flip the coin. What's my duty when Allah has blessed others? When Allah has endowed others? And that's the choice and the degree and the prerogative of Allah. How do I respond? I share with you a few anecdotes from the life of the Sahaba. May Allah be pleased with them. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, إِنِّي لَقَلْتِ عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمُ. I would sometimes be consumed in a verse of the Quran and reflect, and then Allah will open up the detail of this verse to me. By Allah, I enjoy this verse to such a level, my heart screams out, I wish the whole world can come, sit down with me, join me, and understand this ayah as I have understood it. I don't want a monopoly over it. You ever heard a man say that I got a cheaper supplier, I wish my competitors also come and hear about it? I mean, that's obviously not asking too much. But even if my competitor discovers my supplier independently, that's a sore pill for me to digest. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, I read a verse, I'm blown away. إِنِّي لَآتِي عَلَى الْآيَةِ فَأَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا عَلِمُوا مِثْلَ الَّذِي أَعْلَمُ وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْحَاكِمِ مِنْ حُكَّامِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْضِي بِالْعَدْلِ. And then I discover that a new man has come into office, and a new judge has come into power, and he executes justice, and I'm elated, and I'm ecstatic, and I'm overwhelmed. And people are nudging me, Ibn Abbas, what's your excitement? Do you have a case that is pending, and hopefully you'll see justice in your case? And I said, no, I don't know that man from a bar of soap, but I'm just happy a new man has come in, and other people who are going through distress and difficulty will now see some light at the end of the tunnel, and the accomplishment for others is my joy. For the next man to be happy, that's my happiness. We've stooped so low, we cannot support or facilitate the joy of others. But when Allah blesses them independently, we don't have the strength to see it. So I don't have an active hand to do it, but when Allah blesses someone, I have difficulty to reconcile with it. The third thing, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ بِالْغَيْبِ يُصِيبُ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ أَرْضًا. And then I would hear about some rain that would come on a particular land, and then the crops would grow, and the land would become green and lush, and the animals would graze. And when the animals would graze, it just brings joy to me. I don't have a flock, I don't have animals, I don't have interests, I don't have assets in that place. But just to know that good has come to fellow humans is enough to make me happy. May Allah bless us with that spirit. It's the occasion of Khaybar. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is with the Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu takes the banner and he goes. And they fight in the campaign and the battle. At sunset, there is no penetration into the army. There is no headway into the opposition. They retreat. The next day, the banner is passed on to another Sahabi. Again, they engage, they mobilize, but there is no significant opening for victory. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, give the banner back to me. لَأُعْطِيَنَّ رَايَةَ رَجُلًا غَدًا يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Tomorrow, I will be giving the banner to a person who loves Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it doesn't end there. The more intriguing part follows beyond. Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam love Him just so much. Can you imagine the richness of that statement? The profound nature of that accolade? I'm going to give the banner tomorrow to someone. يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. Allah will give victory to the Muslims at His hands. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, مَا تَمَنَّيْتُ الْإِمَامَةَ قَدْتُ إِلَّا ذَكَ الْيَوْمِ. I never aspired for leadership but that day. And it wasn't leadership that motivated me, but it was the passion to become the recipient of the prophetic glad tidings that the man who will hold the banner will enjoy the accolades of being loved by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, that night we slept with anxiety. I was tossing. People are waiting for a result. Countries going through it, and anxiety, uneasiness. Which way is it going? It's a match, it's a game, it's voting, it's politics, it's sports, it's nail biting, it's critical, it's crucial. That last moment, it tolls on you. It tolls on you. That whole night you went restless. In the morning we stood up on our toes, and the pin drop silence. Now who in the world? For a moment the Sahaba were almost like rivals. I choose the word almost. They were not rivals, but what I'm saying is they were vying for a common position. Right? I want this. But look at how united the hearts were. I often say this here. The Sahaba's hearts were more united amidst the diversity of opinion that they had than our hearts can possibly be united amidst consensus of opinion. That means when you and I have a common opinion, we are still not so united as their hearts were when their opinions differed. Two different opinions, and the books of fiqh are filled with that. But the hearts were united. There was no malice or rancor or discord or disdain or condescending remarks. The hearts were clean, the views were different. And each one found space to respect that diversity. And now there's this pin drop silence. And then the Messenger ﷺ said, Aina Ali ibn Abi Talib? Where is Ali radiallahu anhu? And they said, who are you, my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? His eye is in pain and ailing. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that's fine. And he took his blessed saliva and he placed it in the eye of Ali radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Ali said, that eye of mine became brighter than my other eye. And no sooner was the banner and the flag given to Sayyidina Ali, Sahaba said, oh Ali, we aspired, we desired, but honestly, this honor belonged to you and we are happy for what has come your way. If it was us, nepotism, favoritism, son-in-law, jammai, these are the kind of nasty remarks you and I would throw. That the messengers of Allah selected Sayyidina Ali. Sayyidina Umar said, Allah gave me everything and I'm grateful. But I am green with envy for three honors that Allah had given to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu. Tazawwujuhu Fatima. The honor and the privilege of wedding Fatima radiallahu, Allah gave this to Ali radiallahu. And I'm happy for you, my brother, and I'm glad for you. And I have goodness in my heart, and I salute you, and I proudly say that in this Allah has favored you above me. And that's the focus of my talk. For those that have walked in late, I said throughout our life we've been told this one is in pain, help, that one is in a crisis, help, and that's our duty. Uwais Qadri rahmatullah alayh, every time when the sun would set, he used to say, Allahumma mamata du'an fatatu akhidni bihi. Whatever last piece of bread he had in his possession, he would give it in charity. And then he would say, oh Allah, whoever has died out of poverty, I sympathize with him, but don't hold me liable, I gave my last piece of bread in charity. So my sympathy is with the man, but Allah, please don't take me to task. There's nothing surplus in my position. And then each night, whatever surplus clothing he had, he would give it in charity. And then he would say, Allahumma mamata uriyanan malakulakil nebihi. Oh Allah, whoever has died out of lack of shelter, or clothing, or provision, or accommodation, my deepest sympathies with the individual. But please don't hold me liable, my Lord, because I don't have nothing surplus. And imagine me, if I go in my closet and I go in my cupboard and I look there alone, tears of blood will roll from my eyes, Ya Allah, because so many have died across the continent purely because I am hoarding so much in my own house. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. The opening verses of the 12 Juz. Allah says, every soul, every creature, I have taken the responsibility to sustain. The scholars of Tafsir ask the question here, when Allah is taking it upon Himself to sustain every creature, then why are so many dying out of hunger and poverty? And the answer given is simple by the scholars of Tafsir, is that Allah has taken the responsibility to sustain. And part of the plan of the sustenance of the creation is that those that have need to pass that wealth to those that don't have. So the plan of Allah is on track. The humans have faltered. Humans have faltered in the execution of their moral, ethical, religious duty, and hence the disparity and the discrepancy in the world. A simple analogy, a father leaves his son responsible with adequate funds, and he says, run the affairs of the house. And then the father moves on. And then subsequently, the son hoards the wealth, and he runs the house down. And people come back and say, what a father is this here? I mean, he neglects, he forsakes, he shirks, he abandons. He says, no, no, no. He's his eldest son. He's got a drug problem. He's got an evil habit. He's got bad friends. He's got wicked company. The man left everything in his care, but he abused the responsibility. So the focus for today is that we need to flush our hearts out and clean our hearts out and develop strength within us to see the good of others. It would make a Ismail rahmatullah alayhi said, I met a man who had gone over the 100-year mark, enjoying phenomenal health, brilliant, strong, hale and healthy. I said, Subhanallah, ma atwal umri, what a long life. What's the secret? He said, Taraktul hasad. Taraktul hasad fa baqiya al-jasad. Taraktul hasad fa baqiya al-jasad. He said, I gave up pride, jealousy, thinking of this one, worrying about that one, what will happen to this, what would happen to that one here. I gave up that. I don't pry and probe into the affairs, and because of that I enjoy good health. Someone said in the Urdu language, aaj log apne dukh se dukhi nahi hai, dusron ke sukh se dukhi hai. Aaj log apne dukh se dukhi nahi hai. People are not depressed, distraught, miserable and suicidal because of their own agony, distress or pain. They are suicidal and miserable because of the prosperity of others. So what did Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, and just to keep the focus again on what I was saying, he said, Sayyidina Umar said, I'm green with envy for Ali radiallahu anhu, Allah blessed him with this. And I'm happy for you. This is what Allah has given you. My brother, Allah has given you good health, I'm happy for you. You've got obedient children, I'm so happy for you. May Allah keep your children strong, may Allah keep them healthy. Oh, I'm so happy your husband's married, mashallah. So good for you. Look, in English they say, a proud man is one who feels violated when others are praised. He feels injured. Some are generous by monetary definition, but not by spirit. They can give a lot of money, but they can't say a kind word. Some people, oh, he'll give you £1,000 without twitching his eye. He'll give you £10,000. But then to say one kind word, oh, that's a tall order. That's a big ask. That will go against his ego. What they say in English, the ego, drop the E and you'll go. Ego, drop your E. Me, myself, drop it and you'll go. Life will be pleasant. We'll move, we'll coexist. That's the first thing of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The second thing, he said, حَمْلُهُ أَرْضَايَ يَوْمَ خَيْبَرَ. And then Allah blessed him and honored him with the privilege that from Khaybar we all wanted the honor, but the banner came to him. And the third thing, سُبْنَاهُ al-Masjid. He was living in very close proximity to the Masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was because Fatima radiallahu anha was in his wedlock. So he gave easy access to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his honorable, venerable daughter. So this again was a privilege that fell in the lap of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Umar said, my hat off for Ali. I'm happy for you, my brother. Allah has given this to you. I'll leave you with the last incident. Your time is against me. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is having a private discussion with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It's the late hours of the night. Sayyidina Umar is standing at an arm's length. After they wrap up discussion and they conclude whatever they needed to conclude, they exit from the gathering and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu joins them and they walk. And as they walk in, lo and behold, the late hours of the night, early hours of the morning, there is a shadow of a person and he's engaged in nocturnal prayer. He's engaged in checking with his Creator. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. And the Sahaba were those who slept little and they got up early. And he's like just enjoying himself and he's checking with his Creator and he's really having a good munajat. Munajat. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and he sees this. He halts. Abu Bakr on one side, Sayyidina Umar on one side. And then he listens to this man. Who is this man? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And he's just enjoying himself. Consumed. May Allah give us those moments. You see people, I mean, I fly often and I see, you know, riveted to the screen and focused on that. He's eating while he looks at the screen. He's suppressing his urge to pass urine. People in different obsessions of life curtail human needs. I read an article on compulsive gamblers that they wear adult diapers. Hello? Compulsive gamblers wear adult diapers. Because when the urge of passing urine, I'm on the machine and I need to play and I cannot lose it for the moment. So they pass
the call of nature while they pray. Such is the grave and such is the addiction. May Allah protect us. May Allah guide us. He is consumed in speaking to Allah. The Messenger said, "Man sarrahu an yaqra al-Qur'an ratban kama nazal, falyaqra'hu 'ala qira'ati ibn Umm 'Abdin." Listen, Abu Bakr, listen, Umar. If you really want to read Qur'an as it was revealed to me, this is the man. This is the man. Can you imagine being endorsed, being recognized, being authenticated by the paragon of Allah's creation? It cannot get better. It cannot get more wholesome. He concludes his prayer, oblivious, unaware of what's happening. He starts making dua. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says from the year, sal tuqta, sal tuqta. Ibn Mas'ud, you keep on asking Allah, and I am saying, I mean. Ibn Mas'ud, you ask your ask, or speak to your Allah. Check, I gave a talk, I was in Canada recently, and I said, and I would say here, the past is long, my brother. Don't allow anybody to steal that reward away from you. When you're tempted to roam your gaze, ask yourself, I'm up from 2:30, I'm fasting 20 hours, am I going to roam my gaze and throw my reward away? If somebody comes and gets into an argument, am I going to allow this man to provoke me, to incite me, to anger me? He who angers you, conquers you, and then he walks away with my reward and my 20 hours of hunger. No, man, no, man. If I can hold passionately with a sense of obsession over a lousy note or a check or anything of value of this world, we need to preserve what we have. We need to take care of it. I cannot allow this spouse of mine to be just taken away. You're not going to walk away like this. I'm going to walk away and I'm not going to respond to your provocation. Oh, Ibn Mas'ud, you make dua and I'm saying Ameen. And Sayyidina Umar said, I'm green with envy and I'm looking. I said, my words. And again, look at the cleanliness of their hearts. If it was us, we were like, oh, Allah, but I was with you. You didn't give that dua to me. And suddenly Ibn Mas'ud is getting the dua. Those are the kind of thoughts that would play on my mind. And he's just making dua, and the Prophet of Allah said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, my whole life, I tried, I endeavored to try and match Abu Bakr and excel Abu Bakr, but I never could do it. I never. Because Abu Bakr always took the lead. But I said, oh my Allah, this is a chance. And probably there's a niche that I can exploit. And probably there's an opening that I can capitalize. I went home that night. And I said, when I get up in the morning, the first thing on my agenda is to stand up, come to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, congratulate him, and share in his happiness. That's it. I want to be the first one to take the lead and surpass Abu Bakr, not in a tangible action, not in the execution of a duty, not in the performance of a ritual, but in the cleanliness of heart. In having the strength to say good words for others. Sayyidina Umar said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ حَاسِدًا أَنْ يَخْتَمْفَ وَقْتَ سُرُورِهِ. It is sufficient to render a man jealous if he is sad when Allah blesses you. He's sad, he's pulled up, he's distraught, he's uneasy, your daughter's getting married, you've got a new shop, it's just like all cold. Anyway, long story short, to expedite and conclude and culminate, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Sayyidina Umar said, I got up in the morning, early morning, I dash to the house of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. There's a knock on the door. He opens the door. He sees this joy permeating me. Oh, Umar, what's the excitement? He said, wait, just allow me in. He comes in. Can I tell you something? Go for it. I mean, what an honor to have Umar at your door. Do you know last night you stood up in prayer? Yes, Alhamdulillah, may Allah accept. Okay. Do you know after your prayer you were engaging in supplication? Yes, for the grace of Allah. Well, I've come to give you the good news, believe it or not, trust me or not, when you were making dua by Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was behind you saying, Ameen. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is Jazakallah, Abu Bakr was here earlier and he conveyed the news. And then Sayyidina Umar said, Wallahi ma sabaqtu Aba Bakrin ila khayrin qattu illa sabaqani ilayhi. Abu Bakr, you the legend by all standards. You the leader by all standards. You have taken the ship of this ummah and you've been the captain of this ummah. I thought probably I could excel you in one thing, and that is to feel happy about others But even in that you have taken the lead. I leave you with these last words. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held the hand of Anas. In his fatahta and tusrik wa tumsi wa laysa fi qalbika rishun li ahadin min al-muslimin taf'al. Anas, people monitor sugar. That's I'm using paraphrasing here. They monitor the blood pressure. Oh Anas, monitor your heart, morning and evening. Make sure inside here there is no place or room for jealousy, for antagonism, for discord, for rancor. If you've done that, you've revived one of my greatest practices. And if you've done that and successfully achieved that, I will hold your hand and we'll walk together.